And so with that, we're on lesson 5, which is page 29 in your workbook, The Fruit of Peace, The Fruit of Peace. And I think real timely, it's almost a review of last week's sermon on joy overcoming worry, and you'll recognize some of the scriptures and everything. And you know, I just firmly believe God works that out, you know, because worry and having peace is a big part of our lives, everybody's life nowadays. And so getting a sermon last week and a Bible study this week just tells me that we need more of it, and we need to get more ingrained in what God's trying to tell us about that very thing. So page 29 in your workbook, our texts are Galatians 5, 22 and 23, which is the fruit of the spirits. You can turn there, or you can, you know, if you haven't memorized by now, you know, you can just stand for the reading of that. And then I'll read Romans 5, 1 as well, and we'll talk about those. So if you'd stand with me for the reading or recitation of God's word. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. As you can tell, I'm determined to, by the end of this lesson, we're going to all have that memorized, amen? So, but it's what the lesson's about, is the fruit. And then Romans 5:1 says this. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole first part of the lesson is going to be just that, having peace with our Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, Holy Spirit, for your fruit. As we study through these fruits in this corridor, and just starting with love and then joy, we are so thankful that you want to give us and have us bear good fruit. We thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that we would this morning just develop a yearning to have peace in a world that seems to be doing everything to take that very thing away from us. So help us to understand this morning how we can do that and how you want to help us with that. And Lord, that we would just look forward to you speaking to each one of our hearts this morning, and begin, if we don't have it or we're just developing it, more and more peace. We ask a blessing on that and on this time this morning. In Jesus' precious and wonderful, mighty name, amen. You may be seated. So the fruit of peace, and you can follow along in your overview there on page 29, says we live in a very stressful world. I'm sure nobody would disagree with that this morning. Through the hustle and bustle of life, people are longing for a peaceful moment because a life of peace seems too far out of reach. God's word shows us how we can experience more than just a moment of peace. God offers a life of peace to every person. No more wishing for that getaway to enjoy peace. We can enjoy true peace right now and throughout eternity. And then the theme, God wants us to experience the fruit of peace in relation with him, with ourselves, and with others. We can have peace in those three areas, we've got peace. And we'll be taking a look at that. You know, as I said, it's just a really good review, I think, of last week's lesson about not worry. And I thought about that. And, you know, you think, well, the opposite of peace, the first thing you might think of is war. The opposite of war is peace. And that is on kind of a global military, gang-related or whatever. You know, there's war or peace, good opposites. But an opposite of worry is also peace, because you have that anxiety and that concern. And so a little bit definition of peace, but it's still the opposite. I think that, and I did some antonym searches and stuff, and I was able to find it down in there, because if you're not worried and you don't have, if you're not troubled, well, you're what? You're at peace. So, and it's a good, wonderful gift that God wants to give us is to have that peace. According to recent studies, and this was actually done in 2012, so you can, last 7 years, you can obviously add to some of these statistics, one of my favorite words. But the world has known only 292 years of peace since 3600 BC. So in 5,620 years, there's only been 292 years of peace. Pretty incredible. During this period, there have been 14,351 wars. 14,000, so probably 14,500 wars at this point, in which 3.64 billion people have died. So again, the opposite of peace in this context is war, and the devastation in lives and in property and everything it causes. You know, we see every day on the news, you know, the bombings and the wars going on that are just doing such devastation. And moreover, in excess of 8,000 peace treaties have been made and then broken. So you can make all the human treaties you want, and they're what? They're made to be broken. And they are. Since the beginning of time, the world has longed for peace. World peace, peace of mind, and inner peace. We hear about it from the media every day. People are turning to yoga, transcendental meditation, and all forms of Eastern religion. You know, if you're like me and you can't get online without seeing some ads for that kind of stuff, or, you know, the paper and the ads taken out, you know. Come find peace and, you know, do these different things. But they're opening up their hearts and their spirits to various influences that are not productive or helpful to their lives. Actually, even detrimental, I would add, that they can be harmful if you're just not very, very careful with what you're doing. The truth is that we live in a very stressful world. There are so many deadlines, many pressures we allow into our lives. Because of this, we find ourselves saying these cliche phrases. See if you can finish these. I'm ready to throw in the... Good. I'm at the end of my... I'm just a bundle of... Look at you, you guys are all getting in straight A's this morning. My life is falling apart. I'm at my wits... Very good. And I feel like resigning from the human race. Good. And I thought, what a perfect lead-in. But BBS is about the human race. So the last one there, if you feel that way, come get involved with BBS. You're going to learn about being a part of the human race and not resigning from it. Some people are seeking peace in a bottle or pills, yet they're never satisfied. In this chapter, we want to share the peace that passes all understanding, as David prayed this morning. It's a fruit of the Spirit that only comes from God, that kind of peace. The Old Testament word for peace is shalom. It means a desire or prayer that all is well with you. And I remember we were hearing that in Israel. They'd say shalom was kind of their greeting, and we always took it to be peace with you. And it's a desire or prayer that things are well with you. The New Testament word for peace means to bind together. We have peace if we're bound together. Peace is not merely the absence of trouble. It is the presence of Jesus. I like that too. It's not having trouble. It's having Jesus. That's peace. It is harmony and oneness with God's purpose. I recently heard the following story. Many years ago, a man searched for the perfect picture of peace. Not finding any that satisfied him, he announced a painting contest centered on this theme. Artists' imaginations were stirred by this challenge, and paintings from around the world soon began to arrive. It was finally the day of revelation. Judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another, while the viewers clapped and cheered, kind of like, you know, the noise meter. Which one do you like the best? Tension grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. As the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mere smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under a soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep was grazing undisturbed. Surely this painting was the winner. But this man with the vision uncovered a second painting, himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? Surely the artist misunderstood the contest. A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the cliff. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch, content and undisturbed, ready to cover her little ones in her wings. She manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. A great picture, and it made me think of actually, my favorite picture of peace is this one. And it's entitled, Peace Be Still, a quote from Mark 4:39, when Jesus calmed the water. And you can see the crowd and the storm surrounding him, but he calmed that storm. So just like in the story about the bird, in the midst of all that and all the trouble, Jesus says, peace be still. And we can have that with him. Peace is not being in a place where there is no storm, trouble, or difficulty. Peace is being in the midst of all those things and still remaining calm in your heart. In this lesson, we'll see three ways to be at peace, the kind of peace that lasts for eternity. Roman numeral 1, be at peace with God. Okay, got a little ahead there. Anyway, be at peace with God is the blank there. God does not want to keep you at a distance. He wants to have a personal and peaceful relationship with you. In your book, John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In other words, the world kind of might give us a little bit of peace, but what? It takes it away, and maybe even a neighbor, you have peace, but they can take away. Family, you might have peace, but he leaves it with us. Give I unto you, and says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Wow, and as we shared, that's another definition of peace, the absence of feeling so troubled. So, letter A, peace with God is available. Peace with God is available. God's peace is a gift to be shared with everyone. The Bible speaks of this in John 16:33. It's there in your book. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Wow. We can be of good cheer. It's not saying you won't have tribulation. Ye shall have it, in fact, it says. But we can have peace and good cheer, the joy that overcomes that. Again, we read earlier, Romans 5:1 says that the peace is available to all men. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ. While other people are turning to different forms of meditation, I'm thankful that the living God I serve is a God of peace and comfort. Amen. We can be thankful for that. Romans 15:33 says, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. God of peace wants to be with us. The author of the Chronicles of Narnia, one of my favorite series, and other books, C.S. Lewis, said this, quote, God cannot give us happiness and peace apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing, unquote. Good insight from C.S. Lewis. It's just not there outside of God. You cannot forsake God and find inner peace. He desires to have a personal, peaceful relationship as father and child. In your book, Philippians 4:9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And what happens? And the God of peace shall be with you. Wow. Just do what we hear and learn and hear from God and from the Bible, and the God of peace will be with us. As I walk with God and apply His word in my life, His peace will come over my heart and soul. And I truly believe that. You know, not, and I think Kathy had vouched for that, not too much gets me worked up. You know, it just, you know, I'm not happy with things, and, you know, you hear bad stuff going on, and it troubles you, but it, you know, it's just one of those things that, okay, God, just the more and more I trust God and rely on Him, you know, it's okay to talk about it and do that, but just don't get, some people, you know, and we all know them, just get so worked up about it, and they don't have any peace, because they're just in turmoil about what's going on in Iran or the Mid East, and yeah, that's trouble, it's not any fun, it's no good, but why let that rob me of my joy and my peace? Because I have the Lord Jesus, and, you know, I always come back, and it always helps me, as Josh kind of shared. That just means He's coming sooner. And, you know, I get a lot of joy and peace out of that. The worse it gets, the closer He is to coming and taking me out of here. So, you know, just go there quickly. Sin created hostility and conflict between man and God. Romans 5:12 in your book. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, sin brought us in some contention and tends to steal that peace from us. Adam and Eve, the first humans, were created sinless. They experienced wonderful fellowship with God until they made a choice to do their own will rather than God's will. The result of their sin and selfishness was banishment from the Garden of Eden, broken fellowship with God, and their children were born with sin natures. From that point on, the world has been defiled by sin and wars and broken fellowship with God. Been a mess ever since. Because God is perfect and holy, He cannot accept sin. Therefore, Jesus Christ came to bridge the gap, to restore peace between a sinful people and their God. There in your book, Colossians 1:20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. He came to do that reconciliation and to bring that peace. You can have peace with God today if you will open your heart to Jesus Christ. Sometimes people will say, and I remember hearing this growing up, maybe not so much anymore, maybe you have, but especially on what we refer to as the deathbed or in the hospital, people would say, have you made peace with God? Anybody else hear that, remember hearing that? People would say that, I think, a little more often than I maybe hear it today. But you must understand that you can't make peace with God, but Jesus did. And I like that. You know, we can have peace with God, but we can't make it. What we do is accept Jesus Christ. And we can have that peace with Him. And because I remember being young and hearing that, well, how do you do that? Nobody ever went on to explain, you know, have you made peace with God? But then they never followed up with, well, if not, you need to accept Him as your Savior and yada, yada. You know, it was kind of one of those people. And I think people thought about that when they got sick or ill, you know, what's God? And, you know, there are some so-called deathbed conversions, I'm sure. I remember praying with a lady not real sure if she accepted Him or not, but at least had the opportunity to, and we hope so. But Jesus made peace through the shedding of His blood on the cross. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, your sins are forgiven, and you can be reconciled to God. Therefore, it follows we should have that peace that He gave us at that time. So, don't make peace with Him, but we can be at peace with Him. Don't try to make it, just be at peace with Him. If your life doesn't seem peaceful, I'd say check your relationship with Him. Because if we're letting stuff bother us that you know, and steal our peace. That might be a reflection of our relationship with him. Obviously other stuff too, but the first place in all the messages we hear, look at ourselves and see what I could be doing better. Peace is derived through an established relationship with Christ. When you search for peace, there's only one place you'll find it. You must go to the foot of the cross and begin an everlasting relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, then Roman numeral 2, we have peace with God. We need to be at peace within. Peace with, oh, I'm sorry, I kind of got through those. Sorry about that. So Roman numeral 2 is be at peace within. Everybody need those other blank fill-ins there? Give you a moment if you want to write those in. You should have kicked me or something. Okay. So, be at peace within. Many people, when they're lacking peace, simply change geographic locations. They think, if I could just have a new job or more money, if I could experience a fulfilling relationship or take a relaxing vacation in Tahiti, then I would have peace. You know, I've heard people move because they're didn't have peace with their neighbors. Amen? The problem is, you can't run from yourself. If I go to Tahiti, you know, I'm in Tahiti, and I might not have peace because I can take that with me. You can't run from yourself. The problem is that we will be there. You know, we're imperfect, we're sinners, and that some of the trouble goes with us, unfortunately. If you do not have peace in your heart, it will not matter where you're located. Relaxation is an elusive thing for many Americans. This is why they search for peace. A new way of escape is to find peace by hiring a shaman or shaman. According to the Washington Post, shamans believe in healing people by balancing their spirits with their bodies and minds. They practice an ancient art once limited to places such as the rainforests of Australia and the tundras of Siberia, shamans now cater to aging boomers and the urban spa class. I remember several years ago, there was feng shui in your home and office, kind of the Chinese or Japanese term for balancing and encouraging the peaceful spirit or whatever. There's not room in this book for thousands of illustrations regarding the world's quest for peace. But even the multimillionaire John D. Rockefeller was not satisfied. His hair and fingernails fell out, and his skin became like sandpaper because of the agitation in his life. You can try to find yourself to obtain peace within, but it will not happen this way. Looking inside and trying to find ourselves is not necessarily peaceful. In fact, might be scared of what I find there. You may find fulfillment for a while, but lasting peace cannot come from our formation. Peace within God comes from God above. Peace is attained through His grace and is sustained by His word. We want peace. It's through Him and His word. So letter A, peace is a grace of the Holy Spirit. A grace of the Holy Spirit. Peace is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. If He is working in your heart, you will experience the fruit of peace that He produces. When there is a fruit problem, there is a root problem. Root from the roots. You're doing good preaching there, Pastor. If we're not having that peace, then we got something, our connection, our vine connection is something's wrong there if we're not experiencing that peace. If you're not rooted and grounded in Jesus, the kind of fruit displayed in your life will be rotten and unattractive. We'll talk about that a little more later. From last week's sermon, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, again in your book, be careful for nothing, or do not care for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds where through Christ Jesus. That's how we stay peaceful, rooted in Him and connected to Him. God's peace is beyond understanding. He wants you to to give your burdens to him with thanksgiving and prayer. And he, in turn, will give you indescribable peace. We had a series, I think, several months ago, Wednesday night, The Burden Bearer. He wants to take those burdens, and he wants us to give them. And if we can give him those burdens and trust him to deal with them, then we can have that peace. We can be more peaceful. The word worry is from the German word "wurgen," which means to choke. I get a little worried if I'm choking. Amen. When we are worried and stressed, it chokes out our ability to concentrate, our ability to serve, and our ability to make right decisions. Sometimes we worry ourselves into bad decisions because we're worried about something or barring trouble from something that we really don't need to. You know? I really like this story. I heard about some Korean Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. They said, quote, "We are just like nails. The harder you drive us, the deeper you drive us. The deeper you drive us, the more peaceful it becomes." Unquote. And I thought of that, and you think of a nail into a board, you know, and I am a terrible nail pounder, okay? If I pound a nail, I bend it. But what happens? You know, it goes in a little ways, and then it's easier to bend. Or even easier to pull it out. But if you get that nail in deep, you know, sometimes, you know, I end up throwing a lot of boards away because I put the nail in too far in the wrong place. And I thought, what a wonderful thought. That tip down deep in the board, it isn't moving. You know, it's just stuck in there. And that, I thought, what a wonderful picture of how we need to be stuck into Jesus Christ, into the Holy Spirit. Just be the nail in the center of that board. What a wonderful thought. It really doesn't matter how great the pressure is. It only matters where the pressure lies. Be sure that it never comes between you and Jesus Christ. Let the pressure in your life bring you closer to Jesus, and you will experience the peace that passes all understanding. It's like a big hammer. Let the pressure knock you deeper into the wood, into being that relationship with Jesus Christ, not knock it out. Letter B, God's peace is sustained by the Word of God. Sustained by the Word of God. Peace is an invincible force in your heart that can only be sustained by the Word of God. All people desire peace, but few desire those things that bring peace. I thought that's an interesting and accurate statement. We all want peace, but are we willing to do our part in having peace? A little different question. One of the ways I find inner peace is by thinking about the cross of Calvary. This puts so many other things in perspective. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Again, just relating to those nails into the wood. You know, if we just focus on that and stay connected to him, you know, he'll give us peace. In your book, then, Psalm 119:165 says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That's a great thought. If we're, you know, we're just so in love with his law that nothing's going to offend me. Now, I wish I could say I was there. Obviously, you know, we can take offense, but we can still be nailed with Jesus Christ. A Christian who is bent out of shape or upset at another person is not saturating his heart and mind with the Word of God. Continuing on when others have offended you is the mark of a peaceful, spiritually mature Christian. When we can keep on keeping on no matter what people are saying or doing to us, we're growing to be more like him. Think about what they did to him, and he just stayed the course. Amen. What we need to do. God's peace will rule your heart, as Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Because the soul is open to vulnerability, God placed a peace that is intended to rule over the soul. He intends peace to rule in our hearts and in our souls. What a beautiful thought. When your soul is burdened down with agitations overwhelmed with excitement, or tired from worry, the peace of God will preside over you with a sense of calmness. God's peace is intended to preserve our hearts for His purpose. And, you know, the preservation. If we can have peace, we can get through stuff and persevere as He preserves us. So, finally, Roman numeral 3, we need to be at peace in relationships. Peace in relationships. Newsflash. Most of our problems in life are people problems. Nobody sets up a counseling session to complain about their weeds growing. You know, are there carburetors malfunctioning? We don't call up the counselor and say, hey, I need help. Amen? We're having people with problems. Many psychologists and psychiatrists do not understand the power and presence of God in this area. They try to reconcile two people without including God as part of the equation. You see, all relationships must be aligned vertically before they can be aligned horizontally. We have to be at peace with God and have that before we can do it in our relationships. Until you are at peace with God, you will not have peace with others. In your book, Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Not that you lose your salvation or won't see Him, but you lose sight of Him. You lose touch. You know, you're in this turmoil and your focus comes off of the Lord. Once we're at peace with God, there are three areas in our lives that need the presence of peace in our lives, in our lives of relationships that need the presence of peace. Our homes, our churches, and our world. Letter A is our homes. We need peace in our homes. First, you need peace in your home. Colossians 3:15 there in your book says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. When a married couple gives each other the silent treatment after an argument, they are disregarding God's peace. You know, and that's one of my favorites, you know. We'll get Kathy and I'll, you know, just, okay, well, that's not going in. I'll just be quiet. Amen. It's more peaceful. Well, it's not really. You know, because when I've gone to bed like that, I'll lay awake for 2 hours in turmoil. So that's not peaceful. So we kind of fool ourselves, I think, in thinking, well, the silent treatment's peaceful. You know, I would say it's not. You know, it should be dealt with better. When children choose to blatantly ignore their parents, they are ignoring the promise of peace, the peace to which they have free access. It's easy to see that with our kids, amen, our kids growing up. You know, all they had to do was do what I said, you know, they would have been peaceful. Instead, we're in this big conflagration, you know, of what's going on and things we have to do. The simpler, easier way would have been to choose Jesus and choose peace. When a home is filled with backbiting and quarreling, God's peace has been rejected. Understand that our homes ought to be places where there is peace. Satan will viciously attack the home. We've certainly seen that get worse and worse over the years, you know. Starting with the education system in the 50s and on, that Satan found vulnerable parts of us in attacks. God may not take these attacks away, but He will provide a peace that allows you to live out everyday trials contentedly. We can get through those trials with contentment and peace. You can invite peace into your home by choosing to recognize God's presence and accepting God's ruling in the hearts of all inhabitants. We need to bring His peace into our homes. Letter B, in our churches. In our churches. Second, you need peace in your church. 1 Corinthians 14:33 in your book. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. I thought it was interesting that kind of the opposite there that he used is confusion and peace. You know, and you see that more in a church, confusion brought about by people saying stuff or spreading rumors or, you know, whatever might go, you know, we're confused. Why is the pastor saying that or doing that? And it tends to upset the peace that God intends the church to have. When a church is bickering, backbiting, and having a roast pastor for lunch, I like that, roast pastor. I'd rather have the hot dogs, amen? But if a church is doing that, it's showing immaturity, and it will not experience the power of God's blessing. The church should be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's from Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, that's not to say, you know, churches can have problems and pastors problems, and you got to consider all that. But it's, you know, what do we do as members to aid that, or, you know, change that or leave that? It's just different things that us as members have a responsibility to be rather than participate. And I left the church because I found myself being very critical of the leadership, you know, and maybe justified, maybe not. I think a little bit of both as time has gone on. But, you know, I just didn't feel right about being critical and talking to others being critical. So it was the best decision, really, for the church and for our family to leave. I didn't want my little kids growing up to hear me complaining about church. Because then, and you hear that today, why do they want to go to church when they grow up? If all they hear is, you know, mom and dad, you know, disagreeing with what's going on at church, you know, it just doesn't make sense. I just feel real fortunate God showed me that in time that we were able to move on and do better. So, are you the type of church member who makes peace or causes uproar? If you automatically believe you are a peacemaker, make sure to ask yourself these questions. Do I talk about others when they're not present? Do I envy other people's positions? Do I criticize the pastor's vision? Do I get involved? Do I have a heart to serve? And instead of the pastor, we need maybe analyze ourselves. Consider the areas in your life where peace does not exist. Maybe it doesn't exist in the circle of friends you spend time with at your church. You know, and again, we don't have this problem here, which I'm very proud of. I'm almost going to skip this section because that's one thing that makes us family, and you know, we all do good. But you know, if you feel that way in some group, you know, because I've seen it in others, they tend to be like who they hang out with. Amen. If you know somebody's always agitating, and you subject yourself to that, you might start agitating. It's just kind of a natural thing to want to fit into your group and be part of that. Well, just don't do it on the negative side. So, preaching to the choir there, I'm sure. But maybe it doesn't exist with your children's teachers. Whatever the case, there's always room for improvement. There's no perfect church member existing today. You can be working on something in your life to help you be a better member of our church. We can all do that. So, mentor those around you at church. Be involved and loyal to the local church that God has provided for you. This is, again, what Ephesians 4:3 is all about. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Isn't it nice to come to kind of a peaceful place, you know, and just be like, we'll enjoy each other and the meals. And it's just, you know, that's why we love coming to church. And we get away from the craziness in the world and the backbiting and fellow employees and the neighbors throwing rocks at us, and you know, it should be the oasis that we can come gather and get re-encouraged and enjoy each other. Okay, letter C, in our world, we need the peace and relationship in our world. Third, God wants there to be peace in this world, but I'm not looking to the president, the United Nations, or any organization for world peace. People have been trying to look there for a long time to no avail. I believe world peace would only come by the preaching of Jesus Christ. There in your book, Romans 3:17-18, says this, "And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Amen. You know, and we just see that certainly in our government and all types of religious governments around the world. They just don't have a clue They just don't have a clue. And they say they want peace, or, you know, but they do the opposite, and kind of frustrating. Ephesians 6:15 is in direct correlation to this passage. It says, in your feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we need to be prepared to go out and share God, and you know, we take pains here to do that. You know, and in fact, to be an attractive, if we want to be attractive to the unsaved world, what it's going to attract people, the fact that we have joy and peace, you know. I remember one, and I've shared before, one of my regrets in the old pay and pack, I remember the spot in the aisle, and one of the workers came and said, "Boy, you sure look happy today. What's going on?" And boom, I said, "Yeah, I need to share the gospel with her," and I didn't do it. But, you know, but it was good on the fact that, because I was kind of humming hymns to myself and or choruses, you know, and singing, and I was in a great mood, and just thinking about God while I'm shopping for some, I don't even know what to shop for in the pain pack anymore. I don't remember that part. But to have somebody recognize that, something was attracting to why I would have a joyful spirit. And, you know, now I'm ready through Josh's classes and Pastor Tom's training, you know, now I'm ready to share the gospel if that should ever happen again. And I think God's punishing me and doesn't bring that up very often. But, you know, we need to have our feet shod with the gospel and ready to share it, to be attractive to the world. I believe world peace could only be accomplished as Christians pray for their national and world leaders. We cannot change men, but we can pray to the one who can. Again, you know, we can pray for them. We can't change them. It may not matter how many petitions we sign or how many letters we write to our government, but it does matter when we bring our leaders' names before the throne of God. And sometimes, you know, I've got to admit, I kind of lack in that area because I've given up on a lot of them, man. But I've got to get over that. If I feel that way, I need to pray for him even more. But something came into my life to change me around, you know. That can certainly happen to our world leaders. We need to pray for that. In your book there, 1 Timothy 2:1-4, says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. I'm just stopping there. You know, very clear. We're commanded to pray for them. And we get benefit out of that. You know, we think, well, if God would change their hearts, we'd be able to live a lot more peaceably. That's for sure. And we can't change them. God can. Continues on, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants them saved. We need to pray for their salvation. Our leaders are hoping to bring peace to the world. But face it, friends, there will not be a lasting world peace until Jesus comes again. Probably all agree on that. Even though we pray and do, we can almost be assured, even by reading Revelation, that it's not going to happen till he comes. But it is going to come. And that should give us great hope. 1 Thessalonians 5:3 speaks of the last days. Our world leaders will say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Be careful when you start reading about peace and safety, and we're making the world going to have peace. If our world leaders are saying that, it's time to really start getting your house in order, so to speak. You know, Titus 2:12-13 says, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the more we see of that and hearing the world leaders saying that, the more we need to go, I say, get our house in order. And I just thought about that. What do I want God finding me doing when he comes back? You know? And just sometimes that thought will, you know, keep me a little straighter path, you know? You know, if I start thinking evil thoughts, boy, what if Jesus came back right now and caught me thinking that? Or doing this, or yelling at Kathy, you know? Go, boy, that, I'd be sad. You know, maybe only momentarily, but, you know, I'd like to think God's going to catch me in a good, joyful spirit, amen? So we need to have that. One day soon, Jesus Christ will come again to restore peace on earth for all eternity. As Christians, we should be looking forward to his soon return. And that should give us a great sense of joy and peace to have that. But he's coming soon. So in conclusion, in a stressful world lacking rest, it is possible for the Christian to experience peace. Peace with God, understanding that it does not exist outside of a personal relationship with him. Peace within, recognizing it is a disposition created by the Holy Spirit. Giving him room and listening to the Holy Spirit's prompting can give us peace. And then peace in relationships, accepting that you cannot have peace with others until there is a peace between you and God. Again, it starts with that. We can have that peace and we can have it with others. Remember that peace is not the absence of troubles. It is the presence of the Savior. Again, I just love that picture, you know, with Jesus there. And I think, you know, he's gonna come again and just calm all that stuff. He won't be on the ocean. It's going to, you know, he's going to be in the sky. And I can almost see him just, you know, peace, be still. Here I am, finally, you know, come up and join me or whatever. Boy, that's just a joyful thing to think of that peace that's coming. Someone once said, sometimes the Lord rides out the storm with us. And other times, he calms the restless sea around us. Most of all, he calms the storm inside us in our deepest inner soul. Whether the waters are calm or they're being tempest-tossed, if he's with us, he can calm our soul and just rest in him and have peace. As you and I rest in him, the fruit of peace will grow in our hearts, and we will experience calm even in the midst of life's storms. Pray. Father God, we do thank you this morning for this fruit of peace and this lesson. Lord, what a truly blessing that you are offering and have promised and given us. Oh Lord, I pray this morning we would avail of ourselves of that peace, that we would be firmly rooted in you and in your word, and Lord, that we would learn to enjoy your peace and not let things disturb us and trouble us and cause more grief in our heart than any of it deserves, because we have the confidence and the faith that you are coming soon. And the peace that can bring us, I pray, Lord, that you would just grow in each of us this morning, strengthen us in you and in your word. We pray for the service to come as the final message on joy and overcoming discontentment. Lord, another thing that would affect our peace and our joy. So thank you for that. We thank you for all these lessons as you just encourage us and strengthen us. So be with each one. Bless them for being here this morning and learning more from you. We ask a blessing on all our time to follow. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're dismissed.